The following verses of this great final prophecy of Zechariah describe the blessed result of that day of Christ's reception by the Jews. "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's winepresses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited." Zechariah 14, verses 8 through 11. Great physical changes will ensue, convulsions of nature, we may say, beginning with the terrible earthquake in Jerusalem. Particularly will the position of that city be altered and transformed into wondrous beauty. The first miraculous change noted is that of the abundant streams of water, which will flow out from the city over the entire land of Palestine. Ezekiel informs us of that river in much detail, Ezekiel 47 verses 1 through 12. These living waters proceed out from under the altar in the temple in Jerusalem. It is wholly supernatural. It becomes deeper and wider in its flow through the land, changing the wilderness into a garden of delight in a moment, as it were. The former sea, or eastern sea, is the Dead Sea, which shall then be healed of its saltiness by the streams of fresh living water. These supernatural waters will also fall into the hinder sea, the western sea, the Mediterranean. These two bodies of water will never run dry, as streams are apt to do at the present time. Summer's heat will not lessen their flow, neither the winter's cold freeze them up. There will be no extremes of weather in that land of love and sunshine. The living streams will continually flow out in an ever-increasing abundance. Perennial waters coming out from the city of God shall irrigate the whole of Palestine. Joel 3, verse 18. Psalm 46 is a prophecy of the same period of solemn miraculous doings of the Lord. David beholds in vision a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, Psalm 46, verse 4. "For restored and renewed Jerusalem shall be the place where all the changes and blessings of the millennial period will begin. Palestine will be the paradise of God on earth. The garden in Eden was the pattern, in the which was a river that went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads, or streams, Genesis 2, verse 10. Flowing forth to fertilize other portions of the earth, so shall it be again. The land of Israel will teem with evidences of supernatural doings in that day of the Lord, when he will demonstrate his power and majesty. The beauty of nature will be manifested on every hand, while nothing shall destroy or mar the glory of that beloved land of promise. His holy mountain shall be protected and blessed to the uttermost degree. On the sides of Zion, the wolf and the lamb shall dwell together, as well as the leopard and the kid and a little child will be safe to lead what are now known as wild animals. Isaiah 65, verse 25. Peace, harmony, and love will pervade all hearts and all peoples. All creation shall witness to the great change when the Lord is reigning as king over the earth. He will be unto Israel as a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby without stopping. Peace will reign among all peoples. Another fact that is worthy of emphasis in this connection with these waters is their abundance. It signifies the fullness of the salvation of God, which shall go forth from Jerusalem into all parts of the world. The psalmist sings that the river of God is full of water, Psalm 65, verse 9, and Ezekiel beholds it in vision as a river which he could not pass through, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. Ezekiel 47 verses 1 and 2, American Standard Version. As abundant as they are in quantity, so also is their healing, life-giving efficacy. Everything in the vicinity of their flow will be rejuvenated and transformed by their presence. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. This king is Jehovah, Jesus, Emmanuel, the Messiah of Israel, the promised seed of David. He shall set up his kingdom and rule over all the earth. He will be God's appointee, king not only in virtue of being the Son of God, in whom the rule of God upon the earth shall at last be realized, but king because of his being the Son of Man, the last Adam, the Lord of creation. In him the original purpose of God in the creation of man shall be fulfilled. All the promises of the messianic kingdom are centered in him, even as was prophesied before his birth. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1 verses 32 and 33. The extent of his rule shall be universal over all the earth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. Psalm 72 verses 8 and 11. For all the kingdoms of the world shall then become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Revelation 11 verse 15. All the nations of the earth shall come up to worship the King of the Jews, the Lord of hosts, whose absolute sway they will acknowledge. God's will shall then, and not until then, be done upon the earth, in the very place where his name has been ignored, neglected, and blasphemed, there shall the rule of God be acknowledged, even as it is done in heaven. Here is a further marvel in this respect. It will be man, the once rebellious creature, in whom this great change will be evidenced. A new creation will be on the scene as the rulers over the earth. Christ and his glorified saints above will reign in fellowship with the saints below, and this halcyon state will be the result. The appearings of the risen Lord to his disciples upon the earth during the 40 days after his death, meeting in visible fellowship with them at intervals, may be taken as the pattern of the future relation of the mystical Christ to the saints on the earth. His throne, far up in the sides of the north, will be in fullest fellowship with the throne on earth. Harmony will reign in every sphere and rank of God's redeemed creation. His name shall be excellent in all the earth, that is, revered and loved, and every knee shall bow to him in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day God shall be manifested as one, the prophet adds. He shall be recognized, acknowledged, and called the God of the whole earth, Isaiah 54 verse 5, the only potentate, sovereign of the land and sea. There will be no other God worshipped by man, for all the false gods and false religions will be abolished and utterly disowned forever. His name embodies his character. It is Jehovah of redemption that is in view here, the covenant-keeping God of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, shall be fully manifested and made known to Israel by the Messiah, the Lamb of Calvary. God's name shall be revealed to them by him. He shall be the one, excluding all others, the absolute and only object of men's worship and praise for 1,000 years, so that he that blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Isaiah 65 verse 16. Furthermore, we read of other changes, physical as well as spiritual ones. As the city of the great king, Jehovah of hosts, whose dominion shall extend over the whole earth, Jerusalem, the capital of the world empire, shall be lifted up above the mountains by which she has been surrounded and obscured. The land all about her shall be changed and become as a plain. This word, Arabah, translated plain in the Authorized Version, is the proper name of the Jordan Valley, that peculiar depression which runs from the slopes of Hermon to the Red Sea. it is said to be the deepest valley on the surface of the globe. The Sea of Galilee, a part of it, is 652 feet below the Mediterranean, while the Dead Sea, included also in its course, is 1,316 feet below sea level. Zechariah tells us that this valley shall be lifted up, and the mountainous region round about shall be brought down, and altogether shall become a plain. Marvelous transformation, wondrous change. Altogether it will be brought about by the power of God, not by work or power of man. It will be done suddenly and supernaturally. The towering position of Jerusalem, as Zechariah points it out, agrees also with other predictions regarding her exalted position. Isaiah, Micah, and Ezekiel each comment upon this same fact. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Compare Isaiah 2 verse 2 with Micah 4 verses 1 and 2 and Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 40, chapter 43 verse 12, and chapter 17 verse 22. It shall be a conspicuous city, emblematic of truth and righteousness, which will be manifested there. Truth is on the scaffold now, and error on the throne. But then the tables will be turned. Truth will be exalted, while falsehood will be in the dust. The bounds of the restored city are even described, from one end of it to the other. The change shall be manifested. The first, former gate was at the northeastern point, and the corner gate at the northwestern point, while the tower of Hananael and the king's winepress represent the other boundaries. It is the literal and earthly Jerusalem of which the prophet is speaking. Then follow further results of the change in the capital city of the kingdom of the Lord upon the earth. The thought is of peace and permanency. Nevermore shall the people of destiny flee away as captives, or in fear of the intruders in their domain. As Isaiah declares, he shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Isaiah 43 verse 28. There shall be no curse or sentence of destruction upon the people, because the reasons for these visitations of wrath shall be no more. They will enjoy the blessings of the covenant of promise, the Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant will have fulfilled its office and finished its course. It will have been seen in its true place as the handmaid to grace, even as was Hagar to Sarah. Jerusalem shall dwell safely in conscious security without walls or bulwarks, for as we saw in an earlier chapter, the Lord had promised to be as a wall of fire round about it and the glory in the midst of her. Zechariah 2 verses 4 and 5. Salvation will he appoint for walls and bulwarks. Isaiah 26 verse 1. The millennial period will witness a blessed condition of restored, purified, and beautified Jerusalem. It will be the earthly reflection of the glorious city on high. Isaiah gives us a precious description of that halcyon blessed period and blessed city. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for calamity, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, Revised Version. We learn from Isaiah's beautiful, detailed description of conditions in the new earth. He is not telling us of Palestine alone, but things as they will be in other parts of the earth also. Zechariah says there will be no curse in the land of promise, which agrees with other prophetic statements. But Isaiah tells us that the sinner will die accursed. There is no contradiction, for in Palestine there will be no sinners. All Israel shall be saved, Romans 11:26. Not those rebels who died in unbelief, but all those who enter the millennium and those born afterward. All the victory of Calvary will be manifested in great measure in that blessed land. Death will have lost its sting and the grave its victory in Palestine. Life will be reigning. But in other parts of the world, death will still hold partial sway. The rebellious sinner will die immediately after he has passed the 100-year mark, the years of probation. But no infant shall die, neither any child. Death, as the penalty for Adam's sin, will have been abolished. But persistent wickedness, after light has been given, will be punished with death. It will also signal the second death for that individual. He shall die accursed. Ananias and Sapphira, from Acts 5, are figures of such a contingency. That represented the results of the righteous reign of Christ. There will be evidence in the earth that sin has not yet been absolutely put away, but in the land of Israel all will be perfection. If there would be death there, then there would still be weeping, but such cannot be. The wild beasts will be no more, for even they will feed in peace and quietness with the domestic animals. Now the wolf feeds on the lamb not with him. But then, what a change! The only evidence of the curse in Palestine will be the crawling serpent. His condition will continue, though he will no longer hurt or bite. Yet he will still eat the dust, crawl upon his belly. He represents Satan, who will be chained in hell for the 1,000 years reign of Christ, and later loosed for a little season to go forth and deceive the nations for the last time, Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. Sin and Satan will be let loose for a brief time after the millennium as a further proof of the incorrigibility of that crooked serpent and his slave, the fallen Adam.